So as we remain standing, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So here we are at the end of another year. The busyness of Christmas or the Christmas holiday is almost over. All of those preparations, sending cards, buying and wrapping presents, preparing meals and welcoming guests, they are almost done. For those who like to see in the new year, there is still tomorrow night. And as we look forward to the new year, we wonder, what will 2019 have in store? In our passage, that stressful, bewildering first Christmas is past. And Joseph and Mary, though probably still reeling from those events, are settling down to as normal a life as possible, while getting on with the everyday tasks of living and caring for their newborn son. They are probably wondering too what the future holds for them. Like all Jewish parents of that time, 40 days after Mary gave birth, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in obedience to Jewish religious law. And while they were at the temple, they encounter Simeon. Simeon is described as a righteous and devout man, a man obedient to the Holy Spirit. Simeon has been prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple that day, and his obedience is rewarded by the privilege of holding the newborn Messiah in his arms. I wonder, did Simeon, who had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah, wake each morning and wonder if this would be the day? Every stranger he saw as he walked the streets of Jerusalem, did he ask, "Is this the one, Lord?" And then, as he went to bed each night, not having seen the Messiah, was his prayer, "How long, O Lord, must I wait?" It had been 1,000 years since Israel had been at the height of their fame and power, when other nations marveled at their wealth and wisdom under King David and King Solomon. Since then, they had been conquered and enslaved many times. But God had promised them through their prophets that a Savior would come, a Messiah who would free them from their conquerors and restore them as a great nation. So they expected a mighty warrior, a powerful and charismatic leader who would unite them and lead them to victory. But after hundreds of years of waiting, many had lost hope and settled into a life of collaboration and submission. But faithful people like Simeon had not. They waited and they hoped and they prayed. And when the Holy Spirit revealed the long-awaited Messiah to him, not as a great king, but as a newborn baby of poor parents, Simeon praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Here was God's salvation, in a vulnerable and helpless baby. Not a great military leader, not a powerful and influential person. He didn't even seem to have the potential to become one, the son of two seemingly insignificant, average people. This baby was God's salvation for all, for Jews and for non-Jews. The glory of Israel was not a high priest nor Herod the king, but a helpless baby. And this baby is the light through whom God will reveal himself to the whole world, to shepherds and wise men, the marginalized and the influential, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, everyone. But then Simeon's prophecy takes an ominous turn. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This long-awaited Messiah will be rejected by many in Israel. Israel will be divided into those who accept him and those who reject him. And how people choose will reveal who people really are, whether they belong to God or not." And then finally, Simeon prophesies that the pain that Mary will suffer. "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Not the sort of thing that parents want to hear as a stranger looks down at their baby. And we can see the shadow of the cross on this happy event. Every Christmas time, we are presented with a story of the coming of the salvation of the world into the world. In our nativity plays, our crib scenes, our Christmas cards, our readings and our carols. Through his birth, he is Emmanuel, God with us. But through his death and resurrection, he is Jesus. God is salvation. This prophecy of Simeon speaks to us today as it did to the people of 2,000 years ago. Jesus still causes the rising and falling of many. He is still spoken against. He is despised by many. He is rejected by most. The choice whether to accept him or not has huge consequences. That choice can often divide families. It can and does divide nations. But most crucially, the choice divides humanity into those who are with God and those who are without God. And God allows us to make that choice. God loves us so much, he allows us to choose him. And he loves us so much, he allows us to reject him. And if you haven't chosen Jesus yet and still aren't sure exactly what that means, can I encourage you to join the Christianity Explored course? There's a card about that in the pews. It begins on Tuesday the 15th of January, be led by John, our vicar, in the vicarage. If you want to know more about that, please take the card and give John a call. But for those of us who have chosen Jesus, let's follow the example of Simeon. In this coming year, let's be open to God entering our lives in ways that we would not expect. Let's be prepared to be surprised. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit and let's be obedient to his voice. Let's not grow despondent about the state of the world or be tempted back into its mess. But let's continue to worship, to pray, and to hope as we look for the coming of the Messiah. And while we wait, hope, and pray, let's do all that we can in 2019 to bring the love of God to a broken world. Amen.